We focus every Sunday for a little bit of our time around the Lord's Supper. This morning, we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to focus our entire time together this morning on the Lord's Supper. So the songs that you're going to be singing, they're going to be focused on Jesus. They're going to be focusing on his death, his resurrection, his life. And everything that we do this morning is going to be centered around this idea that we never, ever forget. We serve an awesome God, do we not, church? Jesus is alive. Is that not wonderful? It is. And we get to worship this morning in such a way that we can focus on that. So I want you to think about the words of these songs that Blake has planned for us this morning. And I just want you to be in this moment and join your hearts with ours as we worship this morning. I want to take you back to the land of Egypt, 3,000 years ago. And I want you to think about a passage of Scripture that you know very well. The passage is Exodus 11, primarily picking up in verse 4 and going through chapter 12, the end of chapter 12. And in the land of Egypt, 3,000 years ago, you have God's children enslaved. You have the children of Israel in bondage. And you have Pharaoh and these Egyptians who are controlling God's people. And Moses is there as the leader of God's people, and he is seeking their freedom. And he goes before Pharaoh, and he's begging for the freedom of God's people. And Pharaoh continually says, no. And so 3,000 years ago, if you were a Jew, if you were a part of that chosen people, you would have found yourself enslaved, not just for a little while, not just for a couple of years, but generations who had lived in bondage, who had lived as captive people. And Moses is doing what I believe God wants him to do, which is to try to find the freedom for his people. So Moses continually goes to Pharaoh, and he goes to him one final time, and he says, listen, if this doesn't happen, if you don't give us our freedom, and by the way, if you give us our freedom, God's protection will be upon you, but if you do not give us our freedom, the firstborn of all of this land will be taken and killed. Pharaoh being puffed up, full of pride, not being necessarily in a place to probably even believe that something like this could happen, says no. And you know the rest of the story. If you go to Exodus chapter 12 and you see Moses is commanding God's people to, on this night, at this very time, that there's going to be this sacrifice, that you take a lamb and you take the blood of this lamb and you put it on your doorpost. And you know this is where the Passover gets its name. And on that night, if you had sacrificed a lamb, you were basically saying, I am a child of God and I want my freedom. And on that night, everyone who had not taken that sacrifice and put that blood on their doorpost, their firstborn children were killed. You can imagine the pandemonium. You can imagine the hysteria. You can imagine what was going on in the land of Egypt 3,000 years ago as they were waking up and finding out that their firstborn children had been killed, had been taken. And you can imagine Pharaoh's response. Of course, he trembled in fear. And because of that sacrifice, God's people were freed. God's people were able to leave and have the hope of that home, that promised land home, the land of Canaan that flowed with milk and honey. They had this hope now. They were freed and they were on this journey to this home that they had been promised. And if you can't see the similarities to where we are today, I don't know how else to do it. We come to this table today. We come to this this time in our service. And you think about 3,000 years ago in Egypt, and then you go about 2,000 years ago with Jesus in Luke chapter 22, and you see Jesus at the time of the Passover. For over 1,000 years, the children of Israel continued to remember the Passover. Why? Because God wanted them to be reminded of when they were freed and how he had given them their freedom. And he wanted to remind them of this. And Jesus comes along and he walks along beside this meal that they had been doing for thousands of years. And he says, in the midst of this meal, there's something different. And he invites his closest followers to his table. You see, this supper is not our supper. It is the Lord's supper. This table is not our table. This is his table. We are not the host. We are the guest. And everyone has been invited to this table. Every one of us has been invited. Here's the beauty about the table. It's where we become one. It's where we become one because it doesn't matter how much you have or how little. It doesn't matter what is going on in your life or in my life. We are all one in this. Christ died for us. And at this table, we come together as his guest to be grateful, to be thankful, and to remember. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul takes the words of Jesus and through inspiration adds, I believe, what God would want us to know in our context today. And I want you to hear these words, but I want you to hear them in light of what's really going on. Because if you get into 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and you see all the division that is taking place, you see all the issues that are going on there in the church in Corinth. But I want you to notice this, beginning in verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he also took the cup, and after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. The new covenant. This is such strong words for his followers to hear. This is a new covenant. This is a new commitment. This is a new relationship that we are beginning together. This is my table. I'm sharing this with you. I want you to take this bread and I want you to take this cup. And these are emblems of this new relationship, this new covenant. Notice this. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Here they were gathering together to celebrate an event that had given their forefathers and them freedom. And Jesus says, what I'm about to do, what I'm about to give you, is going to change everything. We're going to have a brand new covenant, a brand new relationship. And this is truly going to give you freedom. I want you to think about this bread that we're about to take. And I want you to think about what it would have been like to be there when Jesus said, this bread, I want you to take this. And just a few hours later, as a follower of Jesus, to witness what he was going through. To witness the pain, to witness the anguish, to witness the torture, to witness the beatings, to witness just absolutely gut-wrenching pain, the worst possible way to be killed. And Jesus says, listen, I want you to remember that. I want you to remember that. So as we pass this plate with this bread, I want you to think about being at the foot of the cross and witnessing just the absolute torture of our Savior. And as you witness that, imagine, if you will, you could look into his eyes and you could see down into his soul, and you could have this moment right now, this moment where you could understand in this moment that he died for you. He died for you. We're going to pass these emblems, but before we do, let's pray. Holy Father, we are humbled to be in your presence. We're honored guests at this table. The Savior of the world has invited me and has invited all of us to join him at his table. As his guest, Father, we are not worthy. But Father, as we take of this bread, may we focus on your Son. And may we in this moment clear our minds of everything else but you. And that, Father, as we take this bread, may we never forget the sacrifice that your Son made for us. It is through your Son's most holy and precious name that we pray. Amen. 3,000 years ago, it took a blood sacrifice to free the children of Israel. 2,000 years ago, the world witnessed a blood sacrifice that saved all of creation. That's what this is about. That's what this moment is about. It's a time for us to remember, in the presence of our Savior, what took place. Not because of the sins of other people, not because of the hatred in other people's heart, not because of the bigotry in other people's heart, but because of what goes on in my heart and what goes on in your heart. Sitting in the Garden of Gethsemane last summer amongst the olive trees, some 1,000 years old, all of a sudden I became very aware that it was in that very place where the weight of the world's sin started to fall on my Savior. And not just the weight of the world's sin, but being in that place where just in that garden, knowing that my sin was made known to Jesus some 2,000 years before I lived, and the weight of what I was going to do with my life, and the thoughts and the actions and the way that I live my life and the things that I struggle with fell on his shoulders, so much so that as he was sweating under such excruciating stress, the drops of sweat became drops of blood. Hebrews talks about this sacrifice in lots of different ways, but I want you to notice what the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, beginning in verse 11. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? The blood sacrificed by Jesus is what it was going to take to set us free, so that we could begin to live this life with this hope of an eternal home, a promised land, if you will, which is an eternal home with our Heavenly Father. We have this freedom that we never, ever need to forget how much it cost. It cost the blood of our Savior. As you take this cup, you drink of this cup, think of the sacrifice that Jesus made. And if you ask the question, Jesus, I can't believe you're hanging on a cross. Why are you doing this? And he responds to you this morning, it's because of you that I'm doing this. Let's pray as we get ready to take the cup. Heavenly Father, it is so hard for us to understand the magnitude of this sacrifice. But only in our own attempts to try to understand it does it begin to become a reality to us when we understand that it should have been us on that cross. It should have been my blood. It should have been my body ravaged because I was the one who deserved to be there. But the sacrifice, Father, that Jesus took for us gives us a wonderful, wonderful hope and a freedom, Father, that no one can take from us. Father, as we take this cup, may we focus on you and give you honor. It's through your Son's name that we pray. Amen. Giving is an interesting thing. Giving is talked about in the Bible more than any other topic, more than love, more than grace, more than hope, more than joy, more than salvation. The concept of giving is something that is mentioned so much in the Bible because I think it's really important. Probably because God knows us better than we know ourselves, and he knows that giving is something that is going to be hard for us to learn how to do. Giving says more about my heart and more about your heart than you realize. In fact, it's one of the great litmus tests for our relationship with God. I can remember when I was in high school, I was sitting in church and you know, like we do every Sunday, we do this and we go through these emblems and we talk about giving. And an individual said, you know what, it's important for us to learn to give until it hurts. And as a high school student, I thought, that doesn't sound like fun. Do you want to give until it hurts, church, yes or no? No. No, I got the point. Then I went off to school and I began to study a little bit, and then you read about a cheerful giver. If all you do is give until it hurts, you haven't given enough. Because I believe we should give until it feels good. And that's completely giving of ourselves. You go back to the Old Testament, you read about giving. You read about sacrifices. You read about tithing. You read about giving a tenth. You read about giving the first fruits. You read about this sacrificial giving of giving a tenth. And that's a wonderful place to start. But when you move into the New Testament and you get into the New Kingdom and you get into this new law of liberty and you start reading about what the early church did, you realize that when they came together, specifically there in Acts 2, 3, and 4, and it talks about them coming together and they were willing to sell a tenth of what they had to give to everybody else's needs, right? What does it say? They were willing to sell what? Everything they had. And they would bring it together in order to help people. It wasn't a tenth. It was everything because they were willing to surrender and give it all because that's exactly what Jesus did for them. What if you gave this morning until it felt good? Not where you have to kind of go, yeah, I don't really need to give this. I don't know if I really, yeah, you struggle with it. But you give until it feels good. Not for any other reason than this. Your giving is about your relationship with God and nothing else. God doesn't need your money. God doesn't need my money. What he wants is my heart and he wants your heart. So whatever you're about to purpose to give, it's a statement about where your heart is with God. Let's give until it feels good this morning, church. Let's pray. Holy Father, we've been blessed by you. And Father, we've been blessed to be a blessing. We haven't been blessed to use whatever you've given us for our own joy and for our own satisfaction. Father, you've given us so many things so that we can make such a difference in the lives of other people. And Father, as we give this morning, Father, we're showing you what kind of heart we have. And Father, I just pray that our hearts and our lives are willing to give it all. That we hold nothing back with our love, that we hold nothing back with our joy, that we hold nothing back with our giving, because Father, you held nothing back when you gave us your Son. Father, bless these gifts, and it's through your Son's name that we pray. Amen. Part of coming around his table is examining ourselves. Paul talks about this in verses 27 and following, right here in 1 Corinthians 11. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you who are weak and ill, and some have died, but if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. I want you to think about this for a moment. You're at the table with Jesus. He's asking you to take of his body and his cup to remember what he did. But it's not just a time to remember what he did, it's a time to examine yourself. How many of you are willing to be honest with God this morning? How many of you are willing to be honest with yourself this morning? Honesty leads to freedom. Hiding binds us to a former way of living. Freedom is there for us when we examine our lives, and if we find things in our life that we're not happy about and we're willing to confess to God those sins, we find a freedom that can never be taken away from us. The purpose of getting around this table on the first day of the week was not just to go through some emblems and remember. It was to go through some emblems and to be honest with ourselves and with God. Jesus, talking to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 24, talks about laying down your sacrifice. Don't even offer a sacrifice. There's a problem between you or a brother. Go and make it right. Go and be honest. Go and be honest with each other, and then come back and offer your sacrifice. How many of us are ready to be honest? Did Jesus die on the cross so that we could come to church and just play church? I don't think he did. Did Jesus die on a cross so that we could come and we could take of this bread and we could take of this cup and we could still harbor sin in our life? I don't think he did. Did Jesus come and die on the cross so that we could hide in bondage and enslaved to guilt and to sin and to hard feelings and to bitterness and to cynicism? I don't think that's why he came and died. I think it's just the opposite. He died so that we could be free. So that we could be free to love and free to give and free to share and free to be the kind of people that he's called us to be. Not tied to our past, but longing for the future. Not tied to our hurt, but living with hope. Not tied to this pain, but living in the purpose of Jesus. How many of you are willing to be honest and to stop hiding? How many of you want to break the shackles of pain and hurt and bitterness and guilt, and you want to be able to feel free again? That's what this table's about. Coming to his table in his presence should always change us. May we allow the presence of Jesus, the remembrance of his body and this cup, to change us this morning. And for that to be an honest response to God, that we're willing to confess sins, that we're willing to confess that Jesus is Lord, and to be baptized into our very own death, burial, and resurrection. Church, let's stop hiding. And let's allow Jesus to set us free from all the things that bind us. If you need to come, I hope you do it while we stand and sing.